Okay, that takes us to the ranch caretaker report. Who drew the straw this morning? Yeah.
As most of you know, it snowed out there, so a lot of time was spent plowing, and I'm glad I got that Kubota fixed when I did, because it was flawless. Other than the tire, there's a leak, I think, in the valve stem. Tire kept coming off the rim. And
front tire?
Front left tire.
Yeah. I had the same problem with mine when it gets cold. And even if it's not leaking, sometimes with the four-wheel drive really kicking them, when you're pushing snow and stuff, it'll just spin off. I did that twice.
It's a nightmare. And I kind of messed up. I didn't plow on Christmas Day. If I would have plowed on Christmas Day, I think it would have been a lot better. I think it rained or something like that. Rained Christmas Eve.
Rained from right after that. Yeah.
And then really iced up. Yeah, that's the thing.
That snow was that, and it was just so heavy. And I did what I could. I'm not the greatest snow plow guy, but I got it done. Around the cabins are done. Everybody was happy. We had some people check in. They didn't have any complaints. As far as the cabins go, I shut the garden cabin down. The Johnsons opted out for staying out there. And I tried. We didn't occupy it that much. And I didn't have a really good reason to keep it open. It froze so solid. I got it thawed out, thinking that the Johnsons were going to come back. They never came back. But I tried to keep it open just in case they did come back. And then they said that they weren't going to come back. And so after putting insulated panels, put Mr. Heater under there, tried to just keep it going. I just decided to just shut it down completely. And that was a little process because I had to thaw out all the pipes.
To drain them
and the hot water heater, just all the drains. But we got it done. I've been working up at Cabin 7. I don't know if you guys know this, but the right there next to the shower, there's a real big soft spot. I guess there had been a leak behind the shower wall for, I've heard, a couple of years, small leak. So I'm going to, I started getting that out. I went up the floor and I pulled the toilet out and the sink. And I want to get an opinion on if I'm going to do this, I think I should just remodel the whole thing.
And is number 7?
Mm-hmm.
Remodel the whole thing as in just the bathroom?
Uh-huh.
Since you already got it gutted?
Yeah, I mean, the floor is coming out. Big for the toilet bag, but, you know, the shower is in good, decent condition. I could clean it up and put it back, but maybe a new vanity, a new mirror, some paint.
How were the floor joists on that?
I don't know yet.
I've got
the linoleum tore up and the sink and the toilet out.
Have you seen any mold or anything?
Oh, it's
like
bad. That, the whole floor has to be tore up.
There's mold?
Mm-hmm. And I think while I'm doing this, I'm going to do the same thing in cabin 8. The toilet rocks just because the floor is rotted out, and there's no leak, but
just people overrunning the shower. And
right. So I think I'm just going to do the same thing in cabin 8. So that's one of my big projects right now. But I wanted to ask you guys, is it okay to just go through and remodel that?
I think, you know, we haven't put together, you know, budget and stuff as far as cabin improvements, but we need to fix the whole thing instead of just kind of getting it by for one more season and it gets a little bit worse. And
well, it was soft. You know, it's spongy, and everybody notices it. And I'm disconnecting under the sink, and my foot goes right through the floor. I mean, it's a big safety.
So is it particle board over plywood?
No, it's for plywood.
Just plywood, and then no more particle board. But yeah,
I'm thinking if
particle board then.
No, the plywood is better. The particle board will come together real quick. But if his foot went through the plywood, then it's been getting wet for years and years. So,
what do you think about tile?
Dangerous.
Well, I don't think that tile over a wood floor in a place that gets freezing cold and hot, you know, gets the temperature extremes as you do up there, the grout will come apart.
Well, I was going to put the, well, you're right. No.
Even if you put down the cement backer board and stuff, you'll have the grout will crack within the first year or so, and then you've got crack coming, you know. I think a good quality, you know, vinyl and all that.
I got some stuff. It's called NAFCO tiling, and it's real fun, lightweight, and it has the capability to move.
Whoa.
Because there's no real grouting. It's like a laid tile, and they're warranted. They're not stuffing and that type of stuff. But you can just replace one instead of the whole floor. So that would be a possibility.
Also, if it gets a hole in it or whatever, you can just take one out and stick another.
New product been in on the market about 2 years.
I was thinking, if not tile, carrying through, because Pergo was put down through that cabin.
You can't put that wood down.
Yeah, you cannot put Pergo in bathroom.
It gets wet like you're talking about and get that moisture in it. It'll buckle and I've ripped out two snap down wood floor system this year in areas that got wet and then it just buckles.
I think that's the direction we should go. I think, you know, redoing that bathroom.
And cabin 8, we better look at our budget first, right?
Yeah, but I would finish 7 and see what you see, how deep it needs to
go.
Where do we look for that stuff?
Call me and I'll see if I can't order some. We'll see what.
The footage is not very minimal.
No,
it's very little.
Yeah, it's very little. 10 square feet
or something. I think it's like, without shipping, I think it's like $55 a box, and I'm not sure how much that can't cover, so I'll have to.
I think a solid sheet of linoleum, heavy duty cognoleum. Or something like that.
Well, either that or the other option, you know, is this rubber overlay stuff that they do completely waterproof. It has a lot of flex. They actually trowel it on almost like stucco and stuff. But you can look, you know, if you look at the floor in Fernando's Mexican restaurant, or
hey,
I put it on several places.
Hey.
Get
out
of the table.
And there's one here.
David Seal and Dustin Hollis have arrived with, despite probably the questionable rose.
Just for you.
Thank you. Okay, they're with bells on.
Sorry, folks. It was a long trip.
Oh, I know. It's early meeting time here. Appreciate you being here.
That's an idea. I'll look
into that.
It's not that difficult. You may be able to kind of do it yourself. The problem is if you have somebody that does it, it's not that much per foot. I've put down quite a bit of it this year, and there's a couple contractors here in town that do it. It'll cost more for them to travel out there than do it, but if they have their stuff and they go down there and knock it out, then it looks like colored stamped concrete, and it's almost bulletproof. I've done a bunch of them where we've done the floor, the shower, the walls, behind a tub, you know, the entire thing. Because once it's in there, it's waterproof with no cracks.
What's it called?
Cement, rubber cement overlay.
I'll carry on that. Yeah. Good to go.
Catch Dustin and gave us the data up on that. We're discussing the bathroom in cabin 7. The floor is rotted out and falls into doing the...
It's gutted out at the moment. And now, you guys know that the toilets, I think in 8 too, is the same way. So I don't want to just tear up right around the toilet. I'm thinking of just doing the whole thing.
I think, in that small of a bathroom, if there's a hole through the floor, you've got to replace the plywood from wall to wall to get it so that it spans over the joists that are only 2 foot on center and so that it's stable. You start cutting and just trying to cut around the vanity and stuff, you're going to have more
problems. I actually have pictures of the hole you guys wanted to look at. As we were talking, 7 and 8 have the same thing, but 8 doesn't have... spot next to the shower. There's no leak. It's just
there is a split in the linoleum.
There is a split in the linoleum. So I'm just
good
thinking,
chance you'll find something.
Take the whole thing out. It's not as drastic as.
I say just take care of 7 first, and then we'll move on to 8.
And you can tell, you know, if we've got to take up the linoleum anyway, once you see that, or by crawling underneath, you can see whether it's rotted out or soft once you poke with a screwdriver and it starts.
Give us an update. You can send us, you can email us some pictures, you know, to the board, and that way, you know, we don't have to wait till next month to make a decision. And if it comes, obviously, we're going to discuss the budget today. but if there's...
Well, I've already started this. I mean, as you can see, it's all tore up.
Eight's still being used, correct?
Well, I'm going to keep them.
There's no
seven.
Reservations.
There's no reservations yet? Okay.
Yeah, 7 and 8 are open, and we checked the calendar, and there are no reservations. There still are people that drop in.
Right.
You know, and go up and spend a weekend or something like that.
I think
it's like
not
that,
to get into 8 until 7's put
seven.
Back together.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
But I think that to price out and see, you know, in a pre-built vanity at Home Depot and a master mirror that, you know, or something, I don't know what's in there. But
I was talking to her. There is a vanity there with a cabinet. And so I'm going to try and pull it out and just answer that. Maybe we'll sand it down and repaint it to kind of match the floor.
Okay.
That's good.
A lot of the problems I've been having out there is broken pipes. I mean, it's got down, I think, 8 below 0. I don't know what it is up at your place, but it's colder down at our at Ranch.
70-75 at my place all the time. It's
but I have a system for 7 and 8 to keep them going. The biggest thing is it not being occupied. We told the Turleys, they were going to be there for 2 days, and then they were going to leave for 4 days and then come back. And I told him, I said, as long as you leave that lantern on
in
the bathroom and the door to the hot water heater open, everything works great. They didn't leave it on, and it froze up, and I had to quickly kind of go up there and thaw everything out. But they're workable through, I think, the coldest temperatures out there.
Okay.
I mean, it's so cold, I kid you not, that RV antifreeze gels up.
Under 7 and 8 in the crawl space where the pipes are exposed and that, how much insulation's in there?
Well, with my
try to get the perimeter wall.
If you can see that, there is insulation right there. I don't know.
But is it like a bat insulation?
It's a bat insulation.
Okay. Which is next to worthless. I went through this, where Crosby's just built their new huge house out in Johnson Canyon. Went through that, and now the little disposable cans of spray-on expand foam insulation.
Great stuff.
Yeah, to take that again, that's very expensive in the can. You can buy a can with refillable, or then they come in with 55 gallon drums of that stuff and spray underneath, and it sticks to the floor and the floor joists, and everything expands even 2 or 3 inches and around those pipes, and the insulation value of that is, R50, where you'll never get above an R22, R30 with a bat or anything, and the bats fall out and they get loose, and mice, climb holes through them where cold air gets in there, and I don't know if to look at around.
The problem with that is if, let's say the drain splits, you're going to have a heck of a time spooning that stuff out.
You have to cut it back out, but it's pretty easy, but then you can respray and just patch that area. I mean, it's not hardened up to where, you can't.
It really isn't a crawl space.
I have
some intimate knowledge with both 7 and 8, and I've tore into that on more than one occasion. And what you have is you have the pipe coming up out of the ground, and the problem is that we've had so many different PVC, galvanized, copper, you name it, whatever. I'm a big fan of PEX because PEX expands and contracts pretty. It's more forgiving than most everything else. But anyway, there's no crawl space. When you get into there, you have to pull one of the boards off the bottom. And initially they were insulated with pipe insulation and then fiberglass bat wrapped around it and then duct taped. Well, when they froze, and they always freeze right there where it goes through the floor, you had to remove all that stuff and get the torch on it. Because we did have galvanized at one time, and then copper, whatever. Anyway, I like your idea. I think it's a really good idea to put that spray insulation in there and just fill the whole thing up. And I think that you would run very little risk of having to go in and dig it out down the road. Because things are it'll stay there and it'll be warm. You won't have a problem. But I don't know if Paul was going to talk about it. He and I have discussed. The big problem is that 7 and 8, the valves can't be shut off. They're bad valves. You never have a time when you can't, because you have to drain the whole system, down there to get past there. And when you drain the whole system out, what you end up having is you end up having the just a little teeny water for the ranch headquarters. So he and I have discussed, when the weather permitting, we're going to dig a hole, put a valve in where the pipe goes off to go to the cabins, so we can isolate all the cabins without isolating the headquarters. And then we can isolate the cabins, go in and fix the valves, you know, put a new stop and waste in. And then that also eliminates the other part of the problem of having that water in there all the time. Those cabins are not hard to winterize when because they've got air chucks on them and the whole nine yards. But if you can have a valve that shuts off and allows it to bring
that's
out.
Definitely a priority budget or whatever. It's not that much. We've got to this spring get them so they can isolate.
Then between reservations, even, they can shut it off.
Right.
I think, well, you can leave them open. I mean, they're open.
Well, you can't, except when we get some real extreme temperatures. And I've been there when I was living in the tent for the first 2 years. I had 14 below zero temperatures at my place outside. And that's at my place. And my place is warmer than the headquarters by 5 degrees. So when you get those 20 degree below zero temperatures,
That's when
no matter what, you could have a fire going in there, and it's not going to make a difference.
I don't think he meant leave it open as far as leave the water running in it. I think he meant they could be open.
It's real easy. Turn the water on, light the pilot.
You're talking like Curly.
Oh, right.
Yeah, light the pilot and put water on. Somebody's in it for 2 days, and then when they leave, it's
turn
easy
it
to
off
shut
again.
Off. It self-drains almost.
Right.
So then it takes less than a half hour to winterize them and get them back up and running.
Yeah. Something along the lines of this is the paperwork that the ranch has that somebody drew up a long time ago. I have started to go back because a lot of it is incorrect. Shutting off cabin 7, I go out there, there's the valve, because I had to dig to find it. I found the valve, shut it off. Well, it's just a drain valve, because looking at the paperwork, it says there's a drain valve and then there's the main shut off. So you shut the main shut off and then you drain it through the drain line. But I guess now it's just the one.
It's just a stop and waste.
So the paperwork says there's two valves. So what I'm saying is I've recently started to go through and just rewrite my own, I think it was on the priority list that you sent me, of operation handbook.
Right. Diagram.
We need a set of...
What size are we talking? Are these one-inch lines, two-inch lines? I think they should be
one-inch lines.
Yeah, I hope they're not three-quarters.
They're one-inch lines coming in, and they're three-quarters coming out of the ground.
Well, I have several nice, and they're fairly expensive, two-inch brass valves. But they were left over from project years ago. And
well, when we put the big valve in, I'd like to use a 2-inch valve.
To isolate all cabins on that side, and then on the other side of the road, a 2-inch valve to isolate 9 and 10. So let me know when you want those. I mean, they're a couple $100, but I'm happy to make them available to the ranch for nothing.
Part of shutting that garden cabin down, I went in to thaw it out and tap the main line coming out of the ground, and it's eggshell pipe. So I've written that down in the garden cabin logbook to change that out. That eggshell pipe is so brittle. I don't know how long it's been there, 10 years, 20 years. I don't know. But I just barely tapped it. It was cold, but insulated pipe around it. You have to get under there. I mean, that stuff shatters. It shattered twice on me trying to put it together. But I got it all back together. Everything's working. Any other questions about?
Nope. What other? Any other?
Headquarters. I started cleaning out everything. That tool shed. When I got here, it was somewhat organized, but it wasn't organized to be efficient. So trying to get the plumbing parts with the plumbing parts and the gas parts with the gas parts, and I mean there's a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of chemicals, a lot of paint. I'm just trying to get everything organized. And I've also started a plan to do inventory. There's a lot of tools that are there. We need to have an inventory. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to write everything down and I'm going to start taking pictures just so that everybody knows what's there, what's not what's the ranch's and what's mine. I'm not going to take any pictures of my stuff. So I really suggest somebody coming out and just taking a look before the season starts, just so there's an accountability thing there. I mean, I could write down what's there and take pictures all day long, but unless there's another kind of witness.
Well, inventories actually should be done yearly. I mean,
right. There's not a whole lot there.
Operating practices for businesses that right. Every year you take your inventory, even though
you need
not just
property
stuff
tax,
that,
too.
I mean, like, you know, capital. You know.
Exactly. Well, for our insurance purposes,
mm-hmm.
if for some reason then the tool shed and all of that outbuilding caught fire and burned down, we would have some, expense to replace all that stuff, and the insurance company's only going to look at pictures almost anymore. They don't even care about a written in that kind of an environment.
There's,
so,
not, there's not a whole lot there as far as tools and equipment, but what
right.
is there?
But it still needs to be
well, and, but going through the supplies and what's of any value anymore, if there's paint in there that's been freezing and thawing and freezing and for 5 years, it's completely,
right.
I don't want to pay the labor to put it on the wall,
right.
Get working through the chemicals and knowing what they are and if they're not,
there's some chemicals that I can't throw away.
Yeah.
A lot of the hardened and useless stuff was gotten rid of when we did a preliminary inventory before Paul and since he got out there. So
there.
Most of what's in there was at least usable for within the next year or two.
So do we have that inventory? My question is on this, again, back to some of our storage and records. If you take pictures that you have, that's at least better than nothing.
Yep.
But if it's some pictures that send to all the board members or is put on the website in an archive in some way that so that 2 years from now, when we're all saying, yeah, I know that we took a picture of it.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take
yeah.
a picture. I'm going to take the memory card out, take it to Honey's and get it put on a disc. I'll make 4 or 5 discs, give it to whoever wants it. And,
well, that would be good. If you keep one so that you can put it in a computer and refer to it, we have one that we put in just the archive or something and label it.
Is a picture album a bad idea? Stick it in an album?
No, but usually just the cost of printing pictures. If it's it's something that may be looked at and it may never be looked at. So to burn it to a disk and put it in a file costs a penny, and putting $20 or $30 into photographs that may or may not ever be used and they may be ruined before they get seen, I wouldn't usually do that.
Nope.
So electronic.
Either I like photographs.
I'm starting to pull out the lot owner signs or the lot number signs. Now there's the tool shed and what used to be the store. What used to be the store, I'm kind of making a shop, a work area with my table saw and the chop saw and all that stuff. But I'm going to put the signs in there. Now is it my responsibility as people check in to say, hey, you have a lot number sign here, and check it out to them?
I'm curious because I didn't know. Well, two things. What we're doing with the store, because you mentioned that. Are we moving the store to another place?
The store is where the bunkhouse used to be.
Okay. So where you come
in. It's nice.
Okay, so this is the old store.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to do that, and then the signs, was there a lot number made for, like, every lot?
I think there's every
most
lot.
Most of them
there.
Have not been put out.
Couple of big
marches. It's taking up a lot of space in there.
Plus, we got all the road signs too.
Oh, that's my next.
I'm sure we'd love to get those up, but the biggest issue is having the materials to mount them.
Well, I have a lot of posts that I'm gonna. As soon as I was gonna do it before the snow, take us warm.
Beth and I have been working on the map because the county asked for the map and wanted to know what the names of the roads were, and a few of them had to be changed. So be sure to get a new map from Vance before you actually put the signs up for the roads.
Okay.
Just a few of them had to be changed out
to
a different name.
But getting all that stuff out of there, giving the lot owners their lot number sign and getting these signs, there's a lot of space in that tool chest that could be used for whatever. But that's just what I've been doing. I've also been making sure that all the equipment's working and operational. The generator we had last year didn't have a pull cord on it. You had to wrap the cord around it and fire it up. It worked good. But he had to wrap the cord around it a couple times just to get it started. And then Ed Belinsky kindly donated another generator that I fought with and wrestled around with. And I got that one fixed. But basically going through and making sure the chainsaws work, I think this is the time of year to do that. Get the chainsaws working, the generators working, the just all the equipment going. So springtime, I don't have to.
Well, and this time without members up there and in your way where you can pull something apart and lay it out and work on it as time permits and not think somebody's going to, you know, come and through and need that space or whatever. So
as far as the ranch house, we're staying nice and warm, and the solar system is working outstanding. It's almost scary. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to keep the batteries warm, and I've been maintaining them, and it's the ranch's investment, and it's really working. I mean, it's working. But that's really, other than talking about the tool shed, I have a request for a job box, a big steel container that I can set outside of the tool shed and put DSR tools in, you know, a chainsaw, wrenches. You know, there's all that stuff that's already out there. I just need a box to put it in so I can check them out. To, you know, people come, they just go right into the tool shed and they just start digging around. I've since locked it, but I think if we had a box with a checkout, people would come check out a wrench and sign.
Well, this is something that I discussed a little bit with Paul over the phone earlier, and that's why I said I think as a board or input from members, it's a very a difficult decision up there is, do we spend more money and buy a metal box and have tools available for everybody? I mean, we're all up there, and I may not be, you know, against needing a tool or something, but at the same time, Paul's got a lot of money in his own tools. We've got a lot of money in DSROA tools. I know a lot of money has blocked off and got lost over the years. I think that some of that stuff has got to be locked, and so that...
Well, it could be locked, and I can go out there and unlock it, and, hey, dig through whatever you want, sign out, or I can check it out and do it.
I don't know how helpful do we be, or not. I mean, there's got to be some kind of a system where they check it out and they leave a driver's license or a credit card or something that's real easy, but there's enough of a incentive for it to be returned, and because, you know, I all the time you're going to call, you're going to get a phone call, and they say, hey, I'm back in wherever I'm from, and I forgot I still have the whatever in the back of the truck, and I'll get it back to you. And
but if you put a money value on it, because even, you know, the little tags that we hang in the window,
mm-hmm.
when we got those out, they wanted to put a $5 charge on it, and I said, no, $20. Because no one's going to turn around for $5, but they'll turn around for $20.
Right.
And we have not missed, I don't think,
one
has come up this.
Yeah, if you put a deposit on it, plus there's another source for, you know, it's nominal but or minimal amount, but we can get some revenue. You want to check out a chainsaw, you know.
But it's another thing, too, where a lot of people donate stuff to the ranch. Hey, let me donate this set of wrenches to the job box.
But they want to know that it's been taken care of.
Right. I mean, it's basically the wrenches.
Right.
So, you know, it's their box, it's their tools. It's, you know, if and I'm not talking putting, you know, drills or, you know, cordless Makitas in there. I'm just talking a set of wrenches, a set of sockets, some screwdrivers.
Maybe a hydraulic jack.
Yeah, bottle jack, you know.
Well, you can put in what you get requests for and
get
pulling out if you're in.
There's a lot of extra tools that can go in there.
But you could, I think I like the wrenching it idea. You could rent wrenches, even if it was $5 to rent a wrench.
It'd be an additional revenue. I'd like to welcome Ed Belinsky to our meeting today. Thank
you.
Hey,
Ed.
Sorry,
Mike.
Well, my suggestion is if we go that way, and that's the thing to do, Brent, maybe you have a sorcerer. Some of you, we did, if you go down at the Levi Stewart site at the back of that, there's a big green army surplus box. It's aluminum, so it doesn't rust. It's got locking doors. We padlock it, and we put all the irrigation control boxes and everything is in that lockbox. That's something I think that would look appropriate without trashing up the place, that could be set on, you know, outside, and then it can be locked or open with inside or something like that. And I think we paid like $200 for it. But it's, you know, 2 feet deep, 5 feet wide, 6 feet tall, and it's kind of, it's an army surplus.
We could find something rather than spending some pretty big money at Home Depot or something. I'll start looking.
It's just a suggestion. I'm going through this stuff. I'm starting to organize things, make it efficient, and there's a lot of extra tools. And I have another thing about revenue. When we were hired, it was said that we could do barbecues on Friday night.
Possible.
Now, in order to do that, it would have to go through the reservations. When they made the reservation, do you want,
when you check in,
do you want barbecue? Do you want to go down to the ranch headquarters and it's only $7 or $8 or whatever a person? They're going to have ribs or hamburgers, sodas, and potato salad.
Nothing fancy. Just, you know, a barbecue on Friday night for check-in, and you can eat between, like, 5 and 9. And then it's, you know, food's over at 9 or 8 or whatever time we decide to cut
it off. How would you know how many people, if they check in on Friday and you have it that night, how
because
would you know how much
because they have to make a reservation. They have to reserve it.
It's
going to be on the website.
I can put it in their confirmation letter that if they would like to come to the barbecue to give you a call and let you know.
We could have enough extra food to, you know, number 5 people if they brought extras with them or something, but we don't have the room even with the deep freezer to, you know, supply endless amounts of people that decide to show up.
I think this is going to have to go through the budget as well. Maybe get going through the store budget. It's not going to be a whole lot of money. But it would just be nice if it was available.
You want to think about doing it on Thursday night, too, because usually that's when people have run out of food.
Right. Well, I mean, we did this last year kind of on our own dime.
Hey, if the economy keeps up, I'll be out there.
We don't. You know how we eat, huh, Dan?
I have to shoot a jackrabbit or something. Yeah.
We don't mind doing it, but I think it would benefit the ranch. We can make a little bit of money, not a whole lot, but $1,000 maybe.
I think something like that, finances aside, is something that creates a nice experience and a friendship and a chance to visit and some of those things that people really enjoy. I mean, there's a lot of feedback and people that appreciate the meals and stuff that you have done. And so if it's something that there is some finance to it, so it's not a complete detraction from some of the work that we could be doing or whatever and worked in there.
Well, it's Friday night after 4.
Right. So I think that it's a good thing. We can come up with some kind of a system so that we're not wasting food or it's not overburdensome.
I don't think we should waste much food if people make reservations. If they don't show up, it should be paid. It should be, though, that if they decide not to.
Right. They pay for it.
Like, it be prepaid, even, so that they know that they just, you know, they don't pay us when they show up, unless they have extra people.
Right.
Because otherwise, you know, they could, there are several people who say we're coming in Friday night, and they don't come in until Sunday.
Right.
And, well, you know, then we're stuck with 5 meals that...
Yeah, if you have them pay when they reserve, then it's taken care of. It doesn't matter.
Right. You know, after their travels, by the time, you know, they get there, they just put their stuff in the cabin and
they
go
right
down the meal and enjoy the evening.
And we can have the fire. And last year, I always made sure that we had marshmallows and graham crackers. And
got to have that around a bonfire.
I just made sure we always had it because people didn't bring it.
Right.
I don't know. Some people did, but there was lots of
Well, if you can supplement that and organize it through the store so that people can, if they want to come down and buy marshmallows that don't go bad that fast. I mean, we're not talking weekly perishables. We're talking 2 months. I mean, all summer. Marshmallows are good. Graham crackers are good. Chocolate bars are good. And whether they want to buy it and take it back to their lot or their cabin or wherever they're
taking. We didn't do that intentionally last year because we were trying to steer away from having fires at the cabin.
No burn season basically all summer.
Yeah, it was no burn, so we didn't put it.
We're working on that. We're working on getting it's private property.
Right. Like you had talked last time, when we get those fire rings set up And we need to, again, I think it'll be fairly responsible to understand we're, you know, keep the fire within a reasonable size and
make sure it's out.
And, right, make sure that
it's out. Don't leave it unattended.
But a lot of that stuff is out in the yard of the cabin that's 30 feet from anything, and if they keep a reasonable size fire, they're not going to be throwing sparks out. That's going to be dangerous.
So can we go forward with that then? Like, be able to put that, give the information for, to go on the website and stuff so that people can do that if they want to? The barbecue?
I would make a motion that they be allowed to put that on our website so that they can do the barbecue on Friday afternoons from 7 to whenever, and that people will pay ahead of time so that they will be able to adjust for how many people that are coming. That would be...
yeah, it's not like they can run down to the store and pick up extra.
Oh, we'll have some food.
Well, then you'll know.
Yeah, but you'll know ahead of time.
And even if people don't show up, it's paid for.
And also, we're going to have, because we have the deep freezer, when the season starts, we'll shove all our stuff to one side in there.
We're
going to sell ice. And we'll sell ice, and that will help. That's going to... I would imagine we would probably recoup the money from buying the deep freezer through that. Because even if you charge $4 a bag for ice, it's $2 to come to town. It's going to cost you a lot more than $2 to come to town to get the ice.
Okay, do we have a second for that motion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. I think it's a good idea. I think my input, I mean, anybody disagree or I'm not offended. If everything's rounded up, if it's ice or something, it's $5. If it's a meal, it's $10. You know, if I'm doing if I want a meal for, yeah, I could come and get the hamburger for $7.35 in town, but that's not part of the whole sale. And so, you know, just for the ease of if ice or whatever in the store handling things in a round number, and if it gives another 50 cents or a dollar to the cause, nobody's going to be against that.
Let people know this is revenue generated for their ranch.
Right. This is an effort to keep the assessments from raising and some of those things. And so I wouldn't hesitate to keep things in real round numbers. Something that, in the real world, you might think, wow, that's a lot of money. But I wouldn't sell a gallon of gas for less than $5 out there. That in and of itself, based on, you know, we did get the gas at the right time and stuff, is a good revenue source.
I have two more things on here.
I want to make a motion also that we allow them to see that rented toolbox. I think that that's an excellent idea for revenue. Plus, there's a lot of people who have tools would probably donate to that box because it's worth your time when you don't have a half-inch wrench. Or something.
Well,
really,
and another thing too is, you know, a lot of times I'm out and about, my tool shed is locked because I have my tools in there. You know, there are ranch tools that, you know, they should be, you know, be able to use. If that box is outside of the tool shed, it's
it needs to be
get in there.
Yeah, that could be in there. Whether it's
and do you put an honor an honor box on it? You know,
I can lock it when I leave for the weekend or
I think an honor set on those kind of things, and I think that at least to begin with, if it's set up with it's very easy with a sign out sheet and it's an honor system. If you make it convenient, people will do it. It doesn't matter, you're gonna have to police it if it's so cumbersome they don't understand. It's gotta be real simple, what they took and
be a little
whatever.
Just
how it goes.
Shovel and rake, we've gone down and borrowed the rake and shovel.
That's all in the carport, and that's kind of the same thing. Sometimes it takes it back, and sometimes it's more missing. I just had to buy a new snow shovel because one came up missing. But anyways, the only other things I have is the water tank.
She didn't get a second on her
motion. I apologize.
Is there a second on the motion?
I'll go ahead and second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Move forward with the box. Let's just try to find a good one.
Okay.
Think about Thursdays too.
And now the thing that I was thinking is, where the tractor shed is, where it's covered and it doesn't get snowed on, so that snow right now isn't melting down through a box and rusting out tools. And then it's a little bit. Members will learn where it's at, or see if it's somewhere. If we put it right outside the old store, I don't want something that's an eyesore. And everybody that drives in there that has no clue says, "Oh, there's a chainsaw in here." If it's tucked around where it just keeps the appearance when you drive in of the old ranch,
I'm a nicer. I've seen pictures of the old deck that used to be on the front of that, and I want to rebuild that. And so I'm going to build something with a shed on the outside next to the door, next to the deck, and then I'm going to try and put it on the other side of that, kind of tucked away. But that's down the road.
Well, and again, will it be cheaper with some 2x4s and some T111 siding or something that we can rustic up or whatever to do a little closet?
Right.
Instead of buying a box per se.
Let's not buy anything that I can't. I can cut all that stuff out on the sawmill, and we can make it look real rustic.
And that's right. If it looks rustic, and there's the tool closet that's open, you know, a usable. It's got a lockable door, but it's a 3-foot by 3-foot closet or something. Maybe able to be tucked in that porch anyway.
Right. I'm trying to get that way, to build my own things rather than go and purchase. And I've
got the free materials down in the forest.
Yeah.
Well, trust me, I have no problem clear cutting any of your lots.
Okay. The other thing I had was the water tank. I was trying to speed this up. But the water tank, do we have any more bids on that? And water samples, is anybody willing to meet me here in town and take it, or should I just take it myself?
To Cedar City?
They're due. They're due now.
Mm-hmm. Well, every quarter. I'm trying to do them every quarter. But
well, yeah, I think the best thing, if you've got bottles and stuff up there, is to bring them to this meeting. If you could do it, then we have any questions or whatever, and it can be, but, well, again, they've got to be done. So we can't do it on a Saturday.
Well, isn't there somebody in town that runs bank stuff over? That's how we used to send it. It cost us $5.
Not between here and Cedar's the problem. I got a lot of people, you know, that go to St. George, the banks that coordinate with St. George, but from here to Cedar.
Does anybody go to school over
Dustin
there?
Dustin or I can handle that on a regular meeting. I mean, if our meetings are going to be here.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. It's got to be to them. It won't work on a Saturday.
Within 24
hours. They can't
take
the sample in on Saturday, and it has to be within.
I was going to bring it today, but then I thought, well, that's not going to work.
Well, again, that's one of my questions. If we're going to keep all these meetings on Saturday, which is when I went on the board.
You don't have to.
You can change that.
Well, I'll figure something out. But
I'll think and see if there's anybody I know that's going to school over there or.
I'll wait another week, and if I can't find anybody, I'll just run over there.
Then Mike Crosby, he's going to pull the springs off my one truck and have them rearranged, and he's going to send them with somebody who goes to Cedar every day.
Okay.
And they have they'll charge me like $15 per spring to go over and come back. Let me ask him who that is.
There's got to be somebody.
There's somebody going to Cedar almost every single business day of the week from Kanab. And we used to pay somebody $5 to haul it over there for us. Somebody was doing some kind of banking thing. Barbara Button would know who it was. But let me ask Mike who this person is, and maybe we could send
them. We'll figure something out.
Okay?
While you're talking about water that came in the mail, I seriously don't know what it is. So it looks official, though.
Certified exam dates, official Utah exam applications.
Water operator program certification.
That, you know, Barbara did.
Barbara is certified.
Barbara was certified.
Somebody that deals with that water has to be certified.
To take the test, so we need to have somebody.
Someone else certified.
Certified.
And it would probably be good for.
Positive.
Going to look at that and see if it makes sense to the testing you've already been, you know, at least what testing you're doing. If it's something for the drinking water, to get certified to do that.
Because we have the certified well.
I'll help you with the big words later.
Another thing that we need to do with our certified water supply there is like the hose should be in a cabinet. It shouldn't be attached all the way. You know, I've seen that hose laying on the ground. It should never.
Well, a lot of they know.
It's like a food service thing.
Culinary.
We're supposed to have suction breakers on every single one of those hydrants, so things won't get sucked back in. All you need to do is have the health department come out there one time, and it's a big eye opener.
So
he's going to pull these tests. We're going to send it in, and we're going to have a big, you know, bacteria or, you know, in the chemicals, and we're going to say, well, somehow we contaminated our own water and. That's
well, the test has been coming back good.
There's still room for improvement as far as our
well, that was, you know, any more bids on that water tank, because it's at the point where we need to get something going.
But The hose we're talking about is to fill people's tanks.
Yeah, I'm talking about to fill. But
yeah,
yeah,
we they bring their
the
own
tank
hoses.
Is
well, they bring their own hoses.
They bring their own hoses. The people
some of them,
do it.
Some of them, not all, but yeah.
Well, if not, then to have an overhead system with a hose on the spring, so they can pull it down and hook it or pull it in the tank, but then it doesn't it can never touch the
ground. Yeah, Larry Sims was thinking about setting that up, and you might I'll contact him because he did mention something to me last year about wanting to do an overhead fill.
Yeah.
For a water tank.
Yeah. A lot of people bring in their tank.
Right. Rather than running a hose. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Like Larry Meltzer has a filter and everything that he runs it through into his tank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's really all I have.
What?
In the water tank.
Before we leave this water system certification thing, I think we need to give that some serious consideration in training for Paul. And getting that going.
That's why we're having them look at it. Right?
Okay.
So
do we need to make a motion to that?
Mm-hmm.
That
we don't need to motion everything.
No, that's more of a direction.
Yeah,
that's a direction.
Yeah.
The board,
but I'm not a board member to make that.
Right. No,
I'm just bringing it up.
I think that if this is something that Barbara's is lasting, or she's not going to do, or where she's not here. Again, we need to do in the next couple of months in the winter when if you've got to travel
exactly.
somewhere to take this class to certify, we don't want to be doing that after April 1st. So.
And I have been getting different meetings and things where they do have updates and so on. That comes in the mail. I got them all last year and just didn't feel like it was going to work, so I didn't bring it over. This is looking very official, and I think something
right.
that really needs to
yeah.
be done, and they are a good candidate to do it.
Barbara was certified?
Yes, she was.
She went through that certification. But
she
it's
could.
Always good to have, you know,
another person.
Mm-hmm. And anything that comes in that either looks official or not official, it's for Deer Springs Ranch. Bring it to the board if you're not
oh,
sure.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
But that, and I did.
And if you get anything from the IRS, it's for me. Just pay it.
So, yeah, we don't need to make a motion on that. We just give them that direction. I'll have Paul just look at that and then get back with me or, you know, and
who are they?
We need to see them there.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's it.
Thanks, Paul and Nancy, for surviving another month and showing up.
She got out.
Oh, it's nice. The county's been put on the road.
I need to make sure that this meeting, we need to cover a lot of material, but we need to be out here by noon, is it? We have a wedding party or something coming in.
Okay, so we've got 1 hour, we're 1 hour into it. We're 10 o'clock, so we only have 2 hours, so we'll need to go fairly quickly then.